ABC Radio Australia.
The US Supreme Court's decision to overturn the constitutional right to abortion has put a global focus on safe abortions. Those working in sexual and reproductive healthcare are highlighting the importance in providing access to safe abortion and contraception, especially in places where abortion is illegal, restricted, or heavily stigmatised. Joining me now to talk about the efforts being made in Papua New Guinea is Mari Stopes, PNG Country Director, Angeline Farmoudi. Good morning, Angeline, and thank you for joining Pacific Beat.
Good morning.
Now, when it comes to PNG, let's start with what the current legal status on abortion is.
So the current legal status in country, abortion is illegal. In terms of Mari Stopes and the work we carry out, we provide family planning services right through the underserved communities with particular focus, reaching the rural and very, very remote clients. So we support in that area in terms of post-abortion care.
And now we know that Papua New Guinea has one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the world. And, you know, complications due to unsafe abortion are an important factor in, you know, when we talk about maternal mortality rates, because even though, you know, safe abortion might be illegal, it doesn't mean that abortions don't happen. So why is it important to access safe abortions for women, and what kind of care do you provide?
It is, especially in this context for Papua New Guinea, we've seen, actually we've had research done also where in terms of women that have been stigmatised through basically choices. So with the abortion laws in this country, some of them are heavily stigmatized. So they tend to go to alternative ways, traditional and also physical means. So most of them end up coming to facilities where they require our care and we can't turn them away. So it is very important to look at that context, especially the adolescent age, the teenagers, and also those that can't afford to raise a child.
Because abortion is often seen as a gender issue, but it can also be seen as a class issue because, you know, people who have the money, who have the access, there's lots of things that go into it. So in your experiences with women, what challenges do you see them facing when it comes to trying to, you know, access a safe healthcare as a woman?
Access is, with the work that we do, you can see that especially the remote, access is not available. So we use four channels to actually go out to, because 70% of the population are pretty much in rural Papua New Guinea. That's talking about PNG in general. So access is a major challenge for us in this country.
And I imagine that there would be a lot of demand for your services. What kind of pressure are you guys under to be able to keep providing that care? Because I'm sure it's not going to go away anytime soon.
No, it's not. So we had a recent evaluation, especially during the COVID pandemic, where we struggled in terms of funding. So we had to cut back on service delivery. The evaluation showed us the massive gaps in terms of sexual health reproduction, which really affected a lot of the people.
And now, how would things change if abortion was legal in Papua New Guinea? What would that look like for you and the work that you do?
The work that we do, basically it would help stop the I think in terms of all the risk associated with the women that are actually taking this on themselves due to stigma, where they know that there is help, they know that there is support, and they know that there is a choice for them to be able to access these services.
You're listening to Mari Stopes as PNG Country Director Angeline Farmoudi, and we're talking about safe abortion in PNG in light of the news from the US Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, there, Angeline, you were talking about stigma, and I think that it's kind of a word that a lot of people know what it means, but they don't actually know the real life implications of being stigmatised. So what are the kind of things that you're seeing, and what kind of shift would you need to see for that stigma to be lifted?
It's a lot of advocacy on our part, because we actually go out and really explain, because of the religious and cultural barriers that are affecting society, especially in Papua New Guinea. So a lot of advocacy and also awareness in terms of the choice and in terms of, like you mentioned, the maternal. It's very, very high in this country, but a lot of understanding in that context is not really here. So our work also is really focused around advocacy in terms of women's health, and we focus around it a lot.
And speaking of advocacy, finally, if there was a message that you could leave our audience with about the importance of, you know, safe healthcare for women, especially in PNG, what would you like people to know that might, you know, go about changing some of the stigma associated with the work that you do?
So the main messaging will be just, you know, the decision to remove the right to abortion in Papua New Guinea. It's just basically giving the woman a choice in terms of her body, in terms of her well-being and her family, and just giving them a better opportunity at life.
And I know I said finally before, but how important are men in this conversation? I know that we're talking a lot about women's healthcare and with a focus on women, but what role do men play? Because obviously they're the ones who are the fathers who are impregnating the women. So what role do they play in that advocacy?
Men play a very, very important role. So what we found out is when we have all the consultation going on, especially with family decision, men has the final say in a lot of contexts. And they play a very, predominant role in this area. So what we always encourage is for couples to come in together just so we can do the advocacy as a whole, for them to do a collective decision. So they play a very, very important role in this area also.